Hello, you AI nerds, and welcome back. It's yet another episode of the AIP podcast. And again, it's Anne Chang. I'm your CEO of Supercharge Lab, the host of this AI Partnerships Corp podcast. And today, we are super, super stoked to have this really fun and amazing guest at the forefront of AI innovation, particularly in the sales industry. Now, sales is the lifeblood of any company. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to Malay Upadhyay, who is representing Sales Choice. Malay brings a wealth of expertise in RevOps. Oh my God, RevOps, so important. Customer journeys and artificial intelligence. His commitment to helping businesses achieve growth objectives through advanced analytics has earned him recognition, including being named one of the most influential business leaders by CEO Time Magazine. And in this episode, we're going to dive into the world of Sales Choice, exploring their award-winning AI platform. So come along for this journey as we explore Sales Choice innovative solutions. Oh my God, Malay, so good to have you on our show today.
Oh, it's equally good to be here. I'm stoked indeed and excited.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about you and how you came to be a part of Sales Choice. Tell me your backstory.
Well, the backstory can go a long ways, to be honest. And it's interesting when we were having a chat earlier and you took an example that really resonated with me. Back in school, I remember myself as being pretty distant from computers, to be honest with you. I used to love to dance. At that time, for example, I would be much more keen on extracurriculars than anything. And then I discovered, believe it or not, biotechnology. And that happened to be the course I did my engineering in, after which I worked in labs, I worked in different places. And then I joined Accenture in their consulting division, only to realize, you know what, I wanted to be separated a bit from the engineering side and go deeper into the business management side of things. And that's when I took off to do a master's in marketing in Italy, following which I was all over the place, all over the map, in Dubai, in food and beverage industry, in India, in hospitality. There was a textile project in back in Italy itself until I eventually landed in Canada. And I finished my school in MBA, and by then I had fallen in love with technology, mainly because of all the exposure that I'd gotten through the ages. I even wrote a book that was based on a dissertation that basically looked at 200 years of how technology had evolved. And that, I believe, was the pivot. And after my schooling, I came across Sales Choice and I knew I wanted to be there, A, because it was in the AI industry that I was still learning about, and B, because there was so much to explore. And fast forward the time, almost 7 years now at the company that I've been helping it grow, helping support our clients. I've now authored 3 books on AI. I teach a masterclass with the US Artificial Intelligence Institute on the subject, a few other courses, and I hold a board position for the customer experience program at University of Richmond. So it's all become AI and marketing kind of clubbed together, and that's been my pretty unanticipated journey, to be honest.
Wow, from dance to AI, that's an amazing backstory. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about this journey that Sales Choice took, particularly. I'm sure it didn't start with dancing, but you previously launched a SaaS solution and you kind of did a little bit of a pivot. So tell me a little bit about this new product, Mood Insights, and how that journey took place.
That's a great question. So it is kind of interesting because Sales Choice, as the name suggests, was a sales-focused company, and the core product was Sales Insights, which could make predictions on sales for different B2B teams, helping them essentially improve their win rates. But then COVID hit, and we found that there was a great demand or requirement in the industry to present people with a way to solve loneliness among remote workers, as well as reduce operational risk when you had no idea of what was going on the ground, on the factory floor, out there in the field, and so on and so forth. So Mood Insights as a product was launched to establish that direct, immediate, and real-time communication channel where your frontline workforce could anonymously communicate to you any risks that were emerging, core issues that were taking place, or even how they were feeling and, you know, mental health or anything else that was impacting productivity and could have led to a major risk. And with that insight, it could position leadership to take corrective action in a much better way, which is what Mood Insights was intended to do at the end of the day. And that really is how the product came into being.
Wow, that's a great story. How does Mood Insights, you know, provide your clients with a competitive advantage? And why is it so important?
Right. So, see, historically, the problem has been twofold. Number one, you do not, as I mentioned, have visibility over what's really going on here and now across your organization, across all your employee base. And most issues only reach you as a leadership when they have already become million-dollar problems, when they could have been solved much, much better. We are always reactive in nature, not proactive. The second problem tied to that is even if you could start listening to your people every day at any time, how do you go through that huge volumes of data and do the analysis, figure out what needs your attention, what doesn't? It wasn't possible in a feasible enough way until generative AI came into the picture. And that made a big difference because now you could very quickly understand exactly what needed your attention, how inexpensively you could address it, what could turn into a problem, what the patterns were that were typically causing problems for your people, and so on and so forth. It's a very different engagement style from your periodic surveys or anything that we typically do. The other way in which we are differentiated, particularly from our competitors, is the fact that most solutions available today are meant as a self-help process. You track your own mental health and you use companies, you know, resources to help yourself. There's no way for you to be able to do anything that's out of your control. Let's say I'm in a poor mental health because of the workplace. I can't single-handedly change that. And that's where you need leadership's involvement, and they need to be aware of what's going on. And employees will only share things confidentially, which they otherwise can't, if it's anonymous. And, you know, there are sensitivities involved. Mood Insights manages to tick all of these boxes, and that's its major differentiator. In a nutshell, we like to call it the organizational MRI, and that's what it is.
And that's incredible. You know, employee engagement and employee experience, these words are starting to get thrown around a lot more, right? It's a growing field, and larger corporates are starting to invest significantly into employee engagement solutions. And it's also said that, you know, the most important assets of any organization is their talent. So where do you see the trajectory of employee engagement and experience as an industry going? And do you think more technology can be used to move the needle for organizations to capitalize on their talent?
I think so. I definitely think so. See, AI in a nutshell is of value because it can inexpensively allow you to access and analyze significantly more amount of data significantly quickly or quicker than you otherwise would. What that means is, as we saw with the example of Mood Insights, you can now automate almost the ability to receive feedback and inputs on an ongoing way, establish that communication stream, and allow yourself to focus on specific details that really require your attention. Across all professions today, most employees spend a lot of their time doing routine jobs that are repeatable and can also be automated, thereby allowing them to spend time more in more creative endeavors and endeavors that follow meaningful pursuits. And those are all things that improve engagement, that improve an employee's belongingness in a company. And that is what AI is doing across the industry. One of the really strong examples that I've come across, and I came across it recently, is a company called Hop In Technologies. And I love what they're doing. It's one of the best positioning case studies I've come across. They devised a software that could better execute shuttle services, you know, that could allow you to track where the different shuttles are, where the employees are that are traveling. But they didn't go to market as a shuttle service or software company. They actually went to the market to solve the problem of manufacturing companies not being able to hire enough people. And that was mind-blowing, because when you dive down, you realize that manufacturing companies are limited to who they can hire based on the people who stay near their factories, because the buses and all will not allow you to travel long distances. You have to walk a lot in snow. You lose a lot of productivity. Their custom shuttle services allows you to expand your hiring across a significantly vaster, vast geography, you know? And that, in my view, is a great example of how not only engagement, but an employer's reputation and attractiveness can be improved if AI is used in a better way. I believe that that in a nutshell shows how much of an impact it can have.
That's such a great use case and example. Thank you, Malay. It really opens your mind up. And, you know, these days, you know, there's a lot of movement in the generative AI space. And there are some really pertinent risks that are presenting themselves. What do you think these risks are? And how do you think society as a whole can even navigate generative AI and its risks?
And I love the fact that you actually asked that question. It's so, so important to keep in mind. I'm right now working on my fourth book on AI, and this one specifically focuses on generative AI. And as part of that endeavor, I've identified around 10 risks that all of the industry's risk nomenclatures basically narrow down to. Now, for the sake of time, we won't go into too much detail, but the few risks that are specific to generative AI that I'd like to touch upon, foremost among them, is the problem of hallucination. AI hallucination is when you have, ChatGPT or other such tool giving you answers that sound accurate and correct, but they're not. And to give you an example, ChatGPT was once asked which intersection has the most accidents in the greater Toronto area. And the response it gave of two streets looked fairly pinpointed, and it was great. But when you would check that on a Google map, you'll find that those two streets never intersected. They were parallel to each other. So that's a classic example of something that can look okay, but is not, and organizations have to guard against. The other problem is the legal and the privacy risks that come along with it. When you're getting outputs, you don't know whether it's plagiarized. You don't know what the ownership issues there are. You don't even know whether it's, perfectly speaking, legal. Which also brings us to the other problem, which is that of jailbreak prompts, which are basically prompting techniques that allow you to navigate and go around the existing barriers that have been put in place on any generative AI tool, where you can get it to respond to questions that it should not be responding to. And those are, you know, just to give you a quick intro, those are some of the generative AI specific issues that need to be dealt with and organizations have to watch out for. And the way to go about it is to have a robust policy in place that covers all these elements, but at the same time have some kind of an education program that prepares your employees and makes them aware of these risks, gets them to understand what the best practices are of using these tools, and so on and so forth.
Wow. Well, Malay, what a thrill it's been to have you on our show. I mean, going from dancing to, you know, your MBA and going to Italy, and this whole story has been such a pleasant surprise. So once again, thank you for being on our show, Malay. It's been amazing to have you here. And to our loyal listeners, oh my God, you guys tune in every single week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, my name is Ann Ching. I'm CEO of Supercharge Lab and your host for the AIP podcast. I'm signing off. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.